Happy Friday, everyone. Today is February 26th, 2021, and welcome to Today in Sports History, the podcast that will make you the most interesting person at the water cooler, guaranteed. Without any further ado, let's get started. In 1918, the stands at Hong Kong Jockey Club collapsed and burned, killing 604 people. In 1935, the New York Yankees released Babe Ruth, and he signed with the Boston Braves. In 1967, at the ninth Daytona 500, Mario Andretti won his first and only NASCAR Grand National event. It's the only time a driver born outside of the United States had ever won the Great American Race. In 1972, the Ireland-Wales Five Nations rugby match, scheduled for Lansdowne Road in Dublin, was canceled because of an escalating political situation. The championship was not completed for the first time since World War II. In 1987, NBA's Michael Jordan scored 58 points in one game for a Chicago Bulls record. In 1989, the Dallas Cowboys fired coach Tom Landry after a 29-year career. In 1991, the New York New Jersey Knights of World League of American Football Players first came together as the first Northern American team to join the league. And lastly, in 1994, the St. Louis Blues beat Ottawa Senators 11-1. We'll be right back with our deep dive segment. Thanks for sticking around and welcome to our deep dive segment. Today, we'll be looking at the last part of one legendary career, a man who is blamed for the problems of one team's championship drought. Today, we will be discussing the last stop of Babe Ruth's career, the Boston Braves. Due to the fact that his career was so long, this is all we'll be focusing on today, and we will circle back to other parts of his playing days when they are relevant. Although Ruth knew he was nearly finished as a player, he desired to remain in baseball as a manager. He was often spoken of as a possible candidate as managerial jobs opened up, but in 1932, when he was mentioned as a contender for the Red Sox position, Ruth stated that he was not ready to leave the field. There were rumors that Ruth was a likely candidate each time when the Cleveland Indians, Cincinnati Reds, and Detroit Tigers were looking for a manager, but nothing came of them. Just before the 1934 season, Ruppert offered to make Ruth the manager of the Yankees' top minor league team, the Newark Bears, but he was talked out of it by his wife Claire and his business manager, Christy Walsh. Early in the 1934 season, Ruth openly campaigned to become the Yankees' manager. However, the Yankee job was never a serious possibility. Ruppert always supported McCarthy, who would remain in his position for another 12 seasons. The relationship between Ruth and McCarthy had been lukewarm at best, and Ruth's managerial ambitions further chilled their interpersonal relations. By the end of the season, Ruth hinted that he would retire unless Ruppert named him manager of the Yankees. When the time came, Ruppert wanted Ruth to leave the team without drama or hard feelings. During the 1934-35 offseason, Ruth circled the world with his wife. The trip included a barnstorming tour of the Far East. At his final stop in the UK before returning home, Ruth was introduced to cricket by Australian player Alan Fairfax, and after having little luck in a cricketer's stance, he stood as a baseball batter and launched some massive shots around the field, destroying the bat in the process. Although Fairfax regretted that he could not have the time to make Ruth a cricket player, Ruth had lost any interest in such a career upon learning that the best batsmen made only about $40 per week. Also during the off-season, Rupert had been sounding out the other clubs in hopes of finding one that would be willing to take Ruth as a manager or a player. However, the only serious offer came from the Athletics owner-manager, Connie Mack, who gave some thought to stepping down as manager in favor of Ruth. However, Mack later dropped the idea, saying that Ruth's wife would be running the team in a month if Ruth ever took over. While the barnstorming tour was underway, Rupert began negotiating with Boston Braves owner, Judge Emil Fuchs, who wanted Ruth as a gate attraction. The Braves had enjoyed modest recent success, finishing fourth in the National League in both 1933 and 1934, but the team drew poorly at the box office. Unable to afford the rent at Braves Field, Fuchs had considered holding dog races there when the Braves were not at home, only to be turned down by Landis. After a series of phone calls, letters, and meetings, the Yankees traded Ruth to the Braves on February 26, 1935. Rupert had stated that he would not release Ruth to go to another team as a full-time player. For this reason, it was announced that Ruth would become a team vice president and would be consulted on all club transactions in addition to playing. He was also made assistant manager to Braves skipper Bill McKenney. In a long letter to Ruth a few days before the press conference, Fuchs promised Ruth a share in the Braves' profit, with the possibility of becoming co-owner of the team. Fuchs also raised the possibility of Ruth succeeding McKenney as manager, perhaps as early as 1936. Rupert called the deal the greatest opportunity Ruth ever had. There was considerable attention as Ruth reported for spring training. He did not hit his first home run of the spring until after the team had left Florida and was beginning the road north in Savannah. He hit two in an exhibition game against the Bears. Amid much press attention, Ruth played his first home game ever in Boston in over 16 years. Before an opening day crowd of over 25,000, including five of New England's six state governors, Ruth accounted for all the Braves' runs in a 4-2 defeat of the New York Giants, hitting a two-run home run, singling to drive in a third run, and later in the inning scoring the fourth. Although age and weight had slowed him, he made a running catch in the left field that sports writers deemed the defensive highlight of the game. Ruth had two hits in the second game of the season, but it quickly went downhill both for him and the Braves from there. The season soon settled down to a routine of Ruth performing poorly on the few occasions he even played at all. As April passed into May, Ruth's physical deterioration became even more pronounced. While he remained productive at the plate early on, he could do little else. His conditioning had become so poor that he could barely trot around the bases. He made so many errors that three Braves pitchers told McKenney they would not take the mound if he was in the lineup. Before long, Ruth stopped hitting as well. He grew increasingly annoyed that McKenney ignored most of his advice. McKenney later said that Ruth's presence made enforcing discipline nearly impossible. Ruth soon realized that Fuchs had deceived him and had no intention of making him manager or giving him any significant off-field duties. He later said his only duties as vice president consisted of making public appearances and autographing tickets. Ruth also found out that far from giving him a share of the profits, Fuchs wanted him to invest some of his money in the team in a last-ditch effort to improve its balance sheet. As it turned out, Fuchs and Rupert had both known all along that Ruth's non-playing positions were meaningless. By the end of the first month of the season, Ruth concluded he was finished even as a part-time player. As early as May 12th, he asked Fuchs to let him retire. Ultimately, Fuchs persuaded Ruth to remain at least until after the Memorial Day doubleheader in Philadelphia. In the interim was a Western road trip, at which the rival teams had scheduled days to honor him. In Chicago and St. Louis, Ruth performed poorly, and his batting average sank to 155, with only two additional home runs for a total of three on the season so far. In the first two games in Pittsburgh, Ruth had only one hit, though a long fly caught by Paul Wehner probably would have been a home run in any other ballpark besides Forbes Field. Ruth played in the third game of the Pittsburgh series on May 25, 1935, and added one more tale to his playing legend. Ruth went 4-for-4, including 3 home runs, though the Braves lost the game 11-7. The last two were off Ruth's old Cubs nemesis, Guy Bush. The final home run, both of the game and of Ruth's career, sailed out of the park over the right field upper deck, the first time anyone had hit a fair ball completely out of Forbes Field. Ruth was urged to make this his last game, but he had given his word to Fuchs and played in Cincinnati and Philadelphia. The first game of the doubleheader in Philadelphia, the Braves lost both, was his final major league appearance. Ruth retired on June 2nd after an argument with Fuchs. He finished 1935 with a 181 average, easily his worst as a full-time position player, and the final 6 of his 714 home runs. The Braves, 10-27 when Ruth left, finished 38-115 at .248, the worst winning percentage in modern National League history. Insolvent like his team, Fuchs gave up control of the Braves before the end of the season. The National League took over the franchise at the end of the year. Of the 5 members in the inaugural class of Baseball Hall of Fame in 1936, only Ruth was not given an offer to manage a baseball team. We want to thank you for joining us in this episode and hope to have you back for many more. Don't forget to subscribe however you're listening to us and follow and like us on all social media at Sport History Pod. Again, this is Laura Robin filling in for Ross Parlon today. Thank you to Jason Shaw at Audionautics for the intro music and to Ross Parlon, our script editor and director for this episode. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time.